Hallelujah. I want to make sure I'm not hiding anything. Amen. Hallelujah. Feels good to be in church. Amen. I'm operating on a lot of caffeine, energy drinks, coffee, and very little sleep, but that's what I'm saying. It feels good to be in church. Amen. It's kind of hard to fall asleep when you're in this church, unless you want to fall asleep. That's your fault. And when God comes and you're still asleep, it's your fault. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to give honor. I'm going to do it quickly to our church staff, the first family. Amen. I want to give honor to my bishop. He's my bishop. Hallelujah. Now, I know, Bishop, you said to make it quick, but I feel I just have to say this part right here because I see it all the time, and y'all know I'm an officer. I'm a, you know, the guy trying to stop you while you're speeding. Amen. But I see it all the time, and as if you got kids, you have to teach them to honor and submit to your bishop. Because if you don't, you're either doing two things. You're either fighting some battles early for them, or you're preparing them to have to fight battles as they grow up. I was going to try to do it brief, but I could not get away from it. You got to teach your kids to learn submission and honor the bishop and the man of God in their life. Because if they don't, they're going to see what you do. They're going to act the way you act. What they're going to do is those comments that you make, they're going to pick up on those. They're going to see what's false and what's true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, I'll just give you this example. Apparently my daughters, one of them was telling me her favorite holiday was, I believe, the day after Easter and the day after Valentine's Day. And asked her why. It was because candy's 50% off. Where did she learn that from? It wasn't me. If you know my wife, she loves candy. And I also want to give honor to my wife as well. She's awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bible, we're going to go to, I thought for a second, Brother Johnson was going to start preaching and teaching my message. We're going to go to Joshua 6. And it's one of those where you're thinking, same thing. I'm like, God, is this, look, I'm not a great orator. That's not me. This is not my, where I'm comfortable. I'd rather be clearing houses and pieing corners than staying up here in front of you. Someone's going, what's pie in a corner? I'd like to eat pie in a corner now. That's, going around the corner looking for bad guys. I feel more comfortable doing that than being right here. But I was asking God, is this what it is? And after Sister Massey earlier to the first service, Brother Johnson, I was just like, all right, God, I guess this is it. Hallelujah. I'm going to read two verses out of Joshua. Joshua 6, we're going to read verse 10 and verse 16. Verse 10, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. Let's go to verse 16. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Hallelujah. Bishop, can you pray?
In the name of Jesus, Lord, your presence is manifest already. Your anointing is resting on your man's servant. God, give him the liberty to speak your counsel to your people. Allow us to hear and embrace and receive the word that's coming forth. God, I bind, I come against any distraction of the enemy. I plead the blood of the Lamb against that distraction, And God, let your purpose be fulfilled in the preaching of this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We can be seated. Hallelujah. And I do not mind having, you know, being short because I don't have a very long attention span myself. So, but I just wanted to talk and speak on this thought. There are no moral victories in my walk with God. There are no moral victories in my walk with God. I remember I was in middle school and I got a shirt and it was like my favorite shirt. It was because there was the saying on the back of it. And it said, second place was created to make the loser feel better. I love that shirt. And you know, I remember it was a brown shirt. I was about in seventh grade. I wore that thing out till it like disintegrated. But I love that saying. And if you already heard kind of the title per se and that saying, you can kind of get an idea of where I'm going. You know, because really, this idea of a moral victory, it's really just a concept to make ourselves feel better after failure. Okay, that's the second place. We lost. I don't like losing. I know sometimes, you know, I might not show as much emotion, but I don't like losing. I don't think anybody in here wants to lose, and especially in your walk with God, there's no second place when it comes to the house of God, to living for God, to making it to heaven. Second place does not look good when you don't make it to heaven. I don't think I got to explain much more on that. The problem is we allow this concept sometimes to creep into our walk with God and into the church. Hallelujah. See, we live in, and we'll probably have heard this before, this idea, this participation trophy generation where everyone says, hey, all right, it's okay. You did all right, so you get something. Hallelujah. When I walk in my walk with God, it's not like that. I can't just live off of, oh, you know what? I came to church. I did enough. I can't just live off of, hallelujah, I felt God. I felt the goosebumps. Hallelujah. And that's good enough. I can't live off of, I once spoke in tongues, and that's good enough. I can't live off of, I once had a prayer life, and that's good enough. Hallelujah. You don't get a participation trophy for what you used to do. Hallelujah. Our reward is for what we are doing right now. Hallelujah. There's no moral victories in this. Hallelujah. And you might be saying, oh, well, oh, Brother Garza, you're being a little harsh. I'm just being real. Hallelujah. I know as humans, we are by nature emotional creatures. You know, we have to express emotion. And if you don't express emotion, there is something wrong with you. I recommend you see a doctor. Not me. One of them. Because it's natural. And a lot of times we let emotions dictate our behavior. Hallelujah. I'll give you this example. A couple of weeks ago, responded to a vehicle accident. Everyone's fine. It's raining outside. It's probably about 10 o'clock. She's outside of her car. It's one of the females in one car. And she's crying. And so I go up to her and I'm like, okay, ma'am, what happened? She's like, that car ran the light and hit me in the front. I was like, okay. You know, I was like, all right, we'll figure it all out. I go look at her car, and her car's all damaged in the front. I go look at the other car, and physics is kind of a hard thing to make up. So I look at the other car, and the other car, the whole backside is tore up. She's there crying. So I go back to her. I'm like, hey, ma'am, I don't tell her. I'm like, you're lying. But I ask. I'm like, okay, ma'am, do you have your driver's license? I don't have a driver's license. Do you have your insurance? I don't got insurance. I'm like, okay. Sit in my car because it's raining outside. I'm going to write you 2 tickets, and then you'll have to come someone pick you up. But she was basically allowing all that emotion to then all of a sudden try to say, hey, I'm going to manipulate my emotion to try to get something out of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We allow sometimes our emotions to dictate our walk with God. We'll say, you know what? Like I said, those goosebumps felt good. My walk with God is good. Hallelujah. When instead we need to start looking in our heart, looking for that hidden thing that we've been hiding in the tent and say, God, I need you to take some things out of me. I need to have an experience with you one more time. Not just the goosebumps, but I need to have a change of heart. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Because at some point, we can end up getting like King Agrippa when he tells Paul, you know, you almost convinced me to be a Christian. You almost had me, but I'm still stuck in my ways. The danger with us is at least King Agrippa knew I'm not a Christian and you're almost convincing me. Some of us, we think we're a Christian and we're convinced we are, but our actions, our attitudes, our behaviors are showing something completely different. Hallelujah. So we let this emotion say, oh, I got victory. We're saying, oh, I got victory. But we really are on the tail end of the losing effort. We just feel good. Our conscience is satisfied. We're saying, oh, I've been in every service in revival. I'm good. I've checked off the box. I look the part. I've been in church. Hallelujah. I've been in this thing 40 years. I've been in this thing 50 years. I was raised in this. That's not good enough. That's not victory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the reason I saw those 2 verses when I'm reading the story of Jericho, you see in verse 10, hallelujah, when Joshua's basically telling the people of Israel, look, you're going to shut up. You're not going to say a word. You're not going to talk. Then you get to verse 16. In verse 16, he says, all right, now's the time to make some noise. Now's the time you're going to shout. You realize you have almost the 2 polar opposites of emotion. You have complete silence, and you have a shout and a roar coming out from the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. But both were needed for victory. See, and this is what I'm saying. It's not about our emotion and how it makes us feel. Hallelujah. The reason they had victory was they obeyed the man of God. When he said, hey, you're going to have to be quiet, they were silent. When he said, it's time to shout, they shouted. As a result, God completed the work. So if you really want to bring it together, if you want to have victory, and I'm not talking about moral victory where you just feel good, but you really want to have victory, it's going to stem from obedience. Because that whole story of Jericho, it's the man of God listening to God, telling the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, what they had to do. Victory comes. I didn't even go into Rahab. But then if you keep going into Rahab, there's obedience to what she was told. That's the only reason why her house was saved. So victory came through that string of obedience from the man of God to not worrying about the emotion, saying, oh God, I'm going to obey what you have said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moral victories don't exist in our walk with God. Hallelujah. If you think you got it, if you think, oh, well, I'm good, I'm fine, I got victory, you know, but I'm still not obeying my bishop, still not obeying the word of God, you have a moral victory. And like I said, second place in my walk with God, it ain't a good place to be. Essentially, I mean, I'll just put it out there. Be frank. Hell is not a good place to be to celebrate a moral victory. You want to celebrate your moral victory because, oh, you know what? I felt good. I did what I wanted. Hey, you can be dancing and shouting there, but we ain't going to be hearing those praises. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's a reason why when Sister Lyra ministered, we can dance in the valley. We can shout when things are horrible and we don't feel good, because it's not a moral victory that God has given us. It's because we actually have victory. The moral victory would just be relying on our emotion and how we feel at that very moment. But see, I worship God not just because of how I feel. Hallelujah. I'm worshiping God not just because everything's going good. I'm worshiping God because I know who he is. I know what he's brought me out of. I know what he saved me from. I've seen him answer the prayer because I know I have victory. Oh, hallelujah. I think we just have to sometimes let loose and say, God, you know what? When I give you my worship, I want it to be some true worship. I don't want it to be, okay, what is that person going to think about me if I don't stand up to when bishop's preaching or another minister's preaching? If I don't stand up and clap my hands, what are they going to think about me? We have to make up in our minds saying, you know what? It ain't about what people think. It's about serving you, God. It's about making it to heaven. It's about submitting my will to you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We let emotion, and our emotions become, you know, or we use, sorry, the mechanisms of church as a crutch for our relationship with God. We stand up, you know, we stand up when we're supposed to stand up. Because look, trust me, I was born in this. I was raised in this. I know when the preacher says the right thing, I'm supposed to stand up. When he hits that, you know, takes that second breath, that I'm supposed to stand up. You know, I know all the mechanisms of it. You know, I know if I dance a certain way, people in church won't think anything's wrong with me and I'm not living right. If I clap my hands enough and shout long enough, people won't be looking at me. Hallelujah. But come on. All you're celebrating there is a moral victory. That's where we got to say, you know what, God, it doesn't matter if people are watching. It doesn't matter what people are saying. It doesn't matter if I got to get to the altar when protocol says, oh, I shouldn't get there. Hallelujah. Because God's not interested in protocol. He's not interested in the mechanisms of how church is supposed to function. He's more interested in saying, hey, I want you to make it to the kingdom. I want you to make it And when I see you, I can say, good done. Good job. Well done, my faithful servant. Oh, hallelujah. I'm pretty sure I'm past the time or pretty close to it. Hallelujah. But moral victories don't exist in my walk with God. All that is tied into your emotion. It's just because it makes you feel good. That's what it is. You're soothing your conscience. We got to get beyond just soothing our conscience. We got to get beyond just saying, hey, you know, I made it. I showed up. And I get it. I've been there. Trust me, I see people's faces on Wednesdays when you're like half asleep. It's like, oh, I'm walking in. Unfortunately, to me, that's my Sunday, and I'm wide awake, and I'm like, hey, I have the weird schedule, right? But I get it. Sometimes we're tired. But we can't let our emotions be an excuse for not obtaining victory. Because he's promised us nations. He's promised us territories. But are we going to be willing to take it and step out and say, you know what? Sometime in that process, I might not feel very good. Sometime in the process, I might not like what's going on. The process may not feel the greatest, but God, you promised me victory, so I'm going to give you my very best. I'm not basing the relationship I got with you on my emotion, on how I feel, because my walk with you is not a, there's no moral victories there. Oh, hallelujah, Brother Massey.